that the forces that would take away from that diligence and perseverance that you have stand ready to do that, if it's possible. And I talk to you about us today because us has got us where us is. The fact of the matter is that people, even among our people, who are not satisfied with the landmarks that our fathers have set, have sat. I read to you from Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 28. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. I want you to remember that. I'm not going to be before you very long. But on the base of what remarks I have from this passage of Scripture, Solomon says again, remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers of old have set in thine inheritance. Remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have said. Now, not long ago, I bought some property, farm, actually, Brother Jones and his family have been there, part of it. And I had to have that property surveyed before we could finalize the deed to it. We thought we could just copy the deed we had, but the people that were handling the legal aspect of it felt like that we ought to have it surveyed again, because it had been so long since the survey had been done. The surveyor came to me and said, "Mr. Harco, where is your corner?" And there's stone and there's a marker there where that landline corner. And I carried it, showed it to him on both ends. And I said, "Are you going to start right here at this corner? That's where Granddad said it was." He said, "Well, we could do that, but we're going to go to another corner, which is on the section line, and then we're going to survey it from that point that is established to this point, and we'll see how far we are off of what the deed calls for." Well, I mean, you know, the section lines in there that so many feet this way and so many feet southwest of this section and that, and you all know how that deed would read. located the church today. Lives in changing times. I hope you remember that. I know you know that. We live in changing times. We're changeable beings. But you remember this, that principles do not change.
No.
Principles do not change. God has not changed his order of worship in over 2,000 years. Now, under the law, it was one way, but under a New Testament age, it's another way.
Right.
All of that was under the law. You understand the law was good for what God gave you, Paul.
That's it.
But there was something better. There was a better sacrifice. There was a better priest. There was a better message. And even Hebrews chapter 11 talked about a better resurrection. The book of better things in the book of Hebrews tells us about those better things, a better covenant, a better resurrection, a better promise. You look at the better things in the book of Proverbs. But when God blessed national Israel, every time without exception, they would come away with what they thought was something better. And you know what Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel told them? God said, you tell them this, the leaders of my people have caused them to err. That's a stout statement. The leaders of my people have caused them to err. And I tell you, Josh, I fear that on myself. So I want to tell you right now, the ministry has a responsibility today above and beyond that which many people think. We have a responsibility today to be instant in season and out of season.
Right.
Whether the season is good, whether it is not so good, we have a responsibility today to preach the word.
Yeah.
To be instant. That is to be stable.
Right.
In season and out of season. As my beloved sons, I warn you. I'm going to tell you today, I'm going to say this just as easy as I can. There have been people that have been ordained among our people, and the Bible tells us to lay hands suddenly on no man. But I tell you this, there have been people ordained among us that have been detriments to our people. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
Carry us down the wrong road. Right. You don't forget, men get a follow. I don't care who they are. Men get a follow. Peter did. You know, when the Lord Jesus was crucified, Peter said, well, I'm through with it all. I'll just go fishing. You know what the rest of them said? We'll go with you.
Yeah.
We'll just go with you. It's all over now. Well, it wasn't all over.
No.
They had forgotten where they come from. They had forgotten the landmarks that Jesus had talked to them about. And brother, I'm going to tell you today, it is easy for God's people to lose sight of the landmarks that our fathers have set.
Right.
And I'm not talking about grandmother and granddad. You got to go beyond that.
Yeah.
When he talks about the fathers, he's talking about the fathers of the ministry, the apostles.
Right.
He's talking about those established principles that we have to align ourselves with.
Right.
If I were to tell you today, I told a young man the other day, he came to sit down in my office, he wouldn't talk about the church. He said their church was going down, their church, the numbers had fallen off, their budget had gone awry. And I said, well, I want you to look through the church, or look through the Bible, and I want you to define the church of the New Testament that you find. Don't do it right now, go on, come back and see me a week from today. He came back last Thursday. I said, well, Doctor, what do you find? He He said, well, I found a simple church. I said, was it like the church you pastored? He said, oh, no. I said, did you find a Sunday school? No. Find a mission board? No. I'm not being ugly. I'm saying what their own people would be.
Right.
Find a Sunday school, mission board. PBY? No. What was it? Preaching? Praying, singing, giving.
That's it.
Right? I said, that's it. You found a church.
Right.
When you find a church that practices that in accordance to the New Testament doctrine, then you'll find the church of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And brother, I tell you today, if I didn't believe that the Primitive Baptist Church, as I know it here, and as I know it among the churches that I serve, if I didn't believe that that was the church that Jesus set up, I'd be out looking for it because it's somewhere here in the world.
Yeah.
Jesus set it up.
That's right.
And it is identified not only in its doctrine, but also in its practice.
Yep.
First time I went to Texas to preach, I went to Texas, San Antonio, week after that. I'll be out there for 4 days, looking forward to it. But the first time I went to Texas, almost 55 years ago, Elder Apton Richards in Lubbock, Texas, arranged for me to come and preach. He's long since gone on to be the Lord. And the first time I ever flew on an airplane, I flew from Birmingham, Alabama, to Lubbock, Texas, and I thought I was going to die. Been born again, that's spiritual, and that's where the cross comes.
That's right.
Struggle. You'll have to live with it as long as you live. You're going to have to live with that stroke until you die. Totally depravity, totally living. Not only that, but we believe in unconditional, God's free and unconditional election.
Amen.
That before the foundation of the world, before there was ever a sinner to sin, God Himself ordained and predestinated the people to be conformed to the image of His Son, and in His mind and purpose they're just as much glorified right now as they will be in the resurrection.
Amen. Praise God.
Yes, sir. Now we have some people among us that believe in progressive sanctification. You ever heard of that? Primitive Baptists don't believe that.
No.
We do not believe in progressive sanctification. That is, that we're as men, because we're in the elect of God, that we're getting better and better and better and better. That's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
We're not. We're not getting better and better and better. Though when we will be better, will be the day when we are raised from the dead and conformed to the image of the blessed Son of God.
God, you're right.
We believe in limited atonement. We do not believe in a general atonement. We believe that the atonement that Jesus made, the sacrifice that He made, was limited to those who He elected by free grace before the world began. Limited to those, not in general to everybody, but limited to those and secured them in a covenant of redemption before the world began. Though they are totally depraved, they have been unconditionally elected, and the blood of Christ satisfied God's holy law for those who He chose. It's limited to them. That's what we call limited atonement.
Yeah.
Now, to the next two parts. That is irresistible grace. We believe in irresistible grace. That's like saying wet water. Okay. Only one pass. Oh, God's grace is irresistible. When God speaks, it's done.
Right.
And Lazarus was raised from the tomb. Lazarus didn't say anything alone, please, Jesus. No, he said, Lazarus come forth, and Lazarus obeyed with an obedience that is above the ability of the natural man to perform.
That's right.
He obeyed in a passive way. He obeyed in a passive way. Certainly he did, and came forth still bound in his grave clothes. He didn't say, preacher, you don't get it.
No.
He didn't say, go preach to him the best you can. No. Wasn't in the voice. Really was. That's how God did that. That's the pattern that Paul calls it. The pattern. Just as God calls the light to shine out of darkness, He has caused the light to shine in your hearts that He might bring you from one state to another, up from a state of darkness into a state of light, and translated you into the kingdom of His dear Son. What a blessing it is to be taken from one state to another by irresistible grace. I want to tell you today, I love the gospel. Man told me, said, Brother Ricky, Brother Bruce, he said, you all said you Primitive Baptists discourage preaching. I don't know of Primitive Baptists anywhere that discourages preaching. We don't preach for the same reason you do. But we don't discourage preaching. But I want to tell you, you can burn up this Bible, and the Lord still will call us people.
There you go.
You can tear down this church building, the Lord still will speak to them. He's going to have it. You see, it's irresistible. It's irresistible. The next part is that we believe in the preservation. Now, in the last few years, some people have carried perseverance thing to the extreme. All of our fathers call it perseverance. And you know why? Because our perseverance is in God.
Yeah.
Our perseverance is in Christ. All God's children don't persevere. We're still sinners. But I want to tell you this. The perseverance that we have is a preservation in the Lord Jesus Christ's sacrifice that saved us from our sins.
Yeah.
which I apologize for. Now, for the next 5 minutes, 6 minutes that I've got, I want to talk about the practice of the church.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, unsound doctrine will breed unsound practice. And vice versa. Unsound practice will breed unsound doctrine. There's some of our folks that have the idea that we've lagged behind. Let's take the name primitive off the sign, and because it discourages people, it gives the wrong impression. Can you believe that? Don't tell me it's not so. I came to church right now that did it.
Yeah.
And it shows up. Go to their church. They have testimonial meetings like this at some kind of another kind of meeting, and still want to be named with us.
Yeah.
They don't care anything about what they do, they just care about the name.
Right.
You know, the Bible tells me, you read in Isaiah chapter 4, where it said, in that day shall seven women take hold of one man, say, we'll eat her on bread, we'll wear her on apparel, but only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. Now, I'll tell you right now, my friend, they weren't anything. They were bread is emblematic of doctrine. Always in the Bible, bread is emblematic of doctrine. We'll eat our own bread. We'll wear our apparel. We'll do what we want to. We'll have a youth camp. We'll have this. We'll have that. And if we just start this Bible study, it won't hurt a thing. You've heard that, haven't you? Brother and sister, I'm going to tell you today, nobody will condemn Bible study in the right way. In the right way. I'll take Brother Casey's position. 100 years ago, nobody will condemn Bible study in the right way. We all ought to study our Bible. You ought to know what you believe. I think he talked about that.
Yeah.
And I don't think that you do. But I'm sad to say, my friend, there's some folks at Calvary and Brenda Baptist that do not know what Brenda Baptist believe.
Yeah.
I'm sad about that, but I'm sure that I can be charged with some of it. But it's all right. If we get a few more numbers going, we'll put us in a, let's just, don't put in a theater, let's put us in a Bible study and a youth camp and just a few things like that, just to keep the young people together. Our children's church. Well, I want to tell you, did you know what kind of worship the New Testament church had? Everybody sat in the same congregation, young and old. Everybody sang in the same congregation. The Bible said, when they had sung a hymn, not when they had played the hymn, but when they had sung a hymn, they went out. Praising hymns, songs and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody where? In our hearts. Now, if you think I'm condemning these practices of musical instruments, Sunday school, Bible study, and all these other things, you're right.
Amen.
They don't have a place in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, the landmarks that have been set for us forbid those things.
That's right.
If you differ with me, I love you just the same. But you talk to me about it. You talk to me about it. And I'm going to defend what I said 56 years ago there. 21 preachers sat and questioned me. The church, and all of them getting gone now. And I've made a lot of mistakes in my life, and I wish I could undo part of it, but I can't. But I want to tell you this, there's one thing that I've never violated, and I've never violated that charge that they gave to me that day. I've made many mistakes. I'm not saying I'm a perfect example, but that one thing I haven't done, and that is deny what I said I believed that day.
Yeah.
I haven't done that. And I want to tell you, I want you to pray for me, bless your sweetheart, that if I ever say that I'm tired of preaching what I've preached all this time, whose mouth is vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. What will be the result of that? Here it is. He gives it to us. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. That our daughters may be as cornerstones, polished after the similitude of a past. That our garners may be full. That is our sheds, our crops. That our garners may be full, upholding all manner of store. Listen, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets. Listen to verse 14. That our oxen, get it down, brother Mason, that our oxen may be strong tonight. Surely that's a type of ministry. That our oxen. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul reminds the Corinthian church, doth God take care of the oxen? Oxen, you go back, the law was that you could not muzzle the ox that treaded out the corn. He had to eat of the grain that he walked on. There was something so peculiar about the hoof of the ox that it separated the husk from the grain. And you know that's the ministry, rightly divided. The word of truth. Not truth from error, but rightly divided. The word of truth. You know what? I'm so enthralled with an oxen. I bought a yoke of oxen. Literally, come see it. I'll get them first of May. They're being broken right now. Having the yoke put on them, and they'll be ready to go the first of May. I'm going after them the first of May. A full yoke of oxen. I'll bring them over here and we'll have a field day, all right? Mm-hmm. I'll bring them over here and we'll have a field day, man. Have preaching. Have preaching. You can work them oxen, brother. Brother Burks, I'll give you the opportunity to work them oxen. It'd be a good party. It would. To watch those oxen work. Uh-huh. You know what those oxen do? If I say wool, he'll stop. If I say gee, he'll go to the left. If I say haul, he'll go to the right. The nigh ox is that one closest to me. The off ox is the one on the other side. They're so well trained that all I've got to do is speak to them.
Yeah.
I want to tell you right now that my friends the minister ought to be so in tune with the Lord Jesus Christ that when he speaks, we obey.
Yeah.
That we'll go where he sends.
Yeah.
That we'll preach what he impresses us to preach. And pray that the oxen, not only us, but those to come, would be strong to labor.
Yeah.
That our oxen may be strong to labor. That there be no breaking in or going out. And that there be no complaining in our streets. My God, wouldn't that be one?
Yeah.
That there be no complaining. You know, I'm glad I'm getting out of what I mean. You know, I've been in courthouse 41 years, and I've listened to complaining for 41 years. And November, I'm done with it, brother. Amen. I'm through. I'm done. That's nothing. I know I can complain. We sing a song about the Sacred Heart sometimes that says, the great complainer.
Yeah.
That's the name of the song. And you know what the words of it is? I am a great complainer that bears the name of Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. How true that is. But listen to this. Our oxen may be strong to labor. That there be no breaking in or going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Here's the result of being rid of those strange children. Listen to it now. Happy is that people. Happy is that people in such a case. Happy is that people whose God is Lord.
Amen.
Brother, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the head. You're members of the body, but no church has the authority to do as it pleases. identified with those like you and some others. May God bless you.